Yeah. I'm familiar with it a little bit. I don't really know too much about the wars. We're Americans, so it's like anytime somebody tells us stuff about other countries, we don't know shit because they don't teach us shit in public school.
I was telling them that.
Come on, man. I don't want to get you in jail and stuff like that. So
our news lies to us.
Bro, if it ain't about the Kardashians or making fun of Joe Biden or the presidents, it's like, yo, Americans don't know nothing, right? It's all TMZ over here. But either way, I appreciate you guys hopping on. Let me intro this. Obviously, everybody knows me as B-, but I have my guests here today. We got Mark Reels and Delino. They got a couple of projects going on. They got a cool dynamic. I know I was hopping on the phone with Mark last week, and we got to chopping it up. So he was on the IG Live, and we were going over some cool stuff, man. So I'm excited to kind of dig deep. He also sent me over some of his project as well as your artwork, Delino. So we're gonna kind of I'm gonna talk about that first. So let's get that right out of the gate. But for everybody, let's welcome them. Sub the channel, like the video, also subscribe to the Patreon. We got some new subscribers in there, so pretty hyped about that. But all right, yo, so tell me, what we got Shogun Past. What's this project about? Because I'm gonna tell you right now, you sent me the drive for the artwork. And I was like, yo, I was like, what does this guy think he is? He like, I'm a professional interviewer over here. I don't need to. And then I clicked on the job. I was like, all right, I see why he sent it. I was like, this shit is hard.
We're cooking, you know?
Yeah.
That's so, what you do. You tell him, Mark. You tell him.
So, all right. Pretty much, originally, I started working on Shogun's Past, I want to say 2010, roughly. Probably freshman year of high school. And at the time, I was strictly just like cold cut traditional artists. You know what I'm saying? I knew of digital art, you know, but at the time I was just strictly traditional. And the thing about that was I didn't really deep dive into like manga or anything like that. But what I did enjoy was I enjoyed reading Sunken Rock, which is Boichi's work, and then Berserk. And pretty much what I learned from those was the story writing. I love the complexity of the story, you know. But at the same time, the hiatus, man, with those stories. And me and another friend of mine, what we ended up doing was, and we kind of did it for fun, we wrote fan stories to like finish off,
okay,
those mangas. So that's what we would do, and we kind of got good at it, you know. And I want to say probably one day around spring break like that, man, I left my art book on the desk, and English teacher, what was his name, Mr. Studley or something like that, and dude calls me on spring break. So I'm like, ah, shit, you know what I'm saying? I'm like,
I failed.
Like, but like, what's going on?
Let me not answer this.
My mom gives me the phone. He's like, yo, man. He's like, he was a cool teacher. You know, we didn't have that many male teachers anyway. But he's like, you left your art book. I'm looking through it. And he's like, man. And I thought he was about to say something because at the time, you know, it was fan service. I ain't gonna lie. I was getting it in, you know. But he says, he's like, dude, this is really good. He's like, I'm looking at some of your stories, man, because he was kind of into anime at the time and stuff as well. Bleach was really hot, and even Bleach was going on like a hiatus and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, how come you can't write like this in my class? You know?
It's because your class is trash. Now I'm joking.
Yeah. Pretty much. I'd be in the back of the class, chiming it down, bro. And he was like, how do you know like what's gonna happen? And these episodes haven't even came out yet. I was like, well, the manga releases it shows what's happening in the future. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot further along than the original TV shows and stuff.
Yeah.
So from there, he was like, man, just keep going with it, man. And then eventually he ended up meeting up with me at like a McDonald's or something like that. And he gave me back my drawing bag. And he was like, just keep doing it, you know. And from then, me and my friend, we kept writing. But after that, I kind of stopped drawing fan service. Not just fan service, but fan-made art, fan-made stories. I started just working on an original story.
Okay.
You know? And it was like, from there, I kind of really wanted to just push the idea of like learning from my ancestors, you know? That was kind of like the main premise. I was like, I can build a story around that, you know? And then I thought of things as like, what can I make that something that's original, you know? That was kind of my main thing, you know, it was originality. And from there, it was like, I couldn't juggle being an artist and working on writing at the same time. I knew if I wanted to go somewhere with this, I was going to need some help. Because I know what I wanted. I wanted it to look professional. I wanted it to look clean cut. And I know if I was going to do it, like, and go somewhere with it, I was going to really have to push it in a way, in the direction that I want to, and just kind of like sit down and buckle down and do it for real. And it's a lot different than saying like, oh, I watched anime, so I kind of want to make my own, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of like the realization of it. And then I kind of carried that out through high school and through college, man. And from there, dude, I mean, I've started probably Shogun's Past. It's literally, I want to say, 10 years in the making that I've been working on volume one and just reiteration. I've been drawing since then. I even got to the point where I got into digital art. And the thing about that is, like I said, I couldn't juggle writing and drawing at the same time. It was like, yeah, I was perfecting my artwork, but at the same time, I was learning new techniques and I was developing new skills. So okay. Say if I start out with this chapter and I'll draw, and then over the month span, you will see my artwork defluctuate and pages would look different from each other. And I was like, okay, I need something that's clean cut. I want to say Shogun's Past was redrawn about 4 times before you met with DeAndre. DeAndre was the one that actually introduced me to Delino.
Yo, hold on a second. I think somebody got music playing in the background.
I'm sorry.
Delino?
I got it. My TV's running.
Nah, it's all good. I was like, is that an AC that or something? I was like, oh, what is it?
I'm sorry, man. I'm doing it all the time. That's how I work, actually. Yeah.
Not wrong with that, man. I hope you're listening to something fire, man. What are we listening to over there?
Actually, I'm playing some Japanese hip hop music. You know, it's a playlist on Apple Music. You can check it out. Just go to Japanese hip hop.
All right.
Yeah, there's that one fire. Yo, it's Japanese hip hop playlist.
Yeah, it's so crazy how Japanese culture and Black African American culture kind of like mix and intertwine with each other.
Actually,
Actually,
here's the big one. I was a few minutes ago. I was listening to a Japanese song with Japanese lyrics, but in a Jamaican vibe. It gives you the Jamaican vibe, Jamaican music, Jamaican Japanese accent. Like, dude, it's total fire. The song's total fire.
And you know, it's crazy. I always used to think that Japanese, they kind of develop a lot of the stuff that, you know, us in hip hop culture that we don't use no more, kind of like the boom bap.
Yeah.
I thought that was like where they were at, you know, but surprisingly, they're starting to adapt trap music. There's even a whole freaking Latino culture, bro, in Japan, bro. Have you seen that? I think it was like on Vice TV or something like that. Like, dude, I was like, what?
That's why when people say, when things are American, like when Americans make anime and they're like, oh, it's not anime because it's not made in Japan or it's not Japanese. It's like, get the hell out of here, bro. It's like, right. You know how much stuff that Japanese culture takes from African Americans? Do you know how much all cultures take from African Americans? And we let that shit slide all the time. So then when, let alone like an African American, like for some reason, I don't know why, there's like a wave of just African Americans that love manga that are making their own manga. And just so many people are like, yo, that ain't manga. It's not Japanese. It's
I just
like,
hold,
get the hell out of here.
I just want to hold the microphone, a big one, and I want to talk about this one. Like, what the hell's wrong with you, man? You saying that it's a manga. It should be in Japan, made by Japanese people. Dude, there are a lot of people all around the world have been creating comics, like comics that are... like Marvel comics, like DC comics, but they're making their own comics following the same style. But notice nothing. Now, that's the pimple. Now people are like, dude, like they're having that kind of headache. They don't like it when we make our work and not call it comic. We just call it manga. No, why do you call it manga? Why do I call it comics? I'm not American. I'm Libyan. Why should I call it comics? That's the point. I mean, manga is a style made by Japanese. It doesn't mean that it's exclusively made in Japan by Japanese people. You can make it, like, even if you were, I don't know, like in hell or somewhere out of the world, like from Saturn. You can just make manga, man, if you like it. So, yeah.
Yo, we made the trade. It's like, yo, if Japanese people can rap, we totally can make sense. We can make mangas.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Right. Yeah. And you know what's crazy about that? For a long time, I actually had the idea in my head that I was like, okay, kind of like what you said. Like, if it's out of Japan, it's a manga. If it's from America, it's a comic. And like, I want to say recently, I just figured it out, like, because I can take a manga and be like, traditionally, I'm like, okay, in Japan, everybody reads from right to left, right? Even the book would open up from right to left. And then the reason that it's obviously translated into English, but still the book is going from right to left. And I was assuming that, like, because I would see people and they would be deep into it. They would be like, oh, well, I'm from America, but my story reads from right to left, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, dude, I get that, but, like, it's already translated into English. You see what I'm saying? I'm like, it doesn't matter. You can be Japanese or whatever. For example, if a Japanese man comes to America and he publishes his book, it's going to read from left to right. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
But I'm just like, okay, so, I mean, I guess it doesn't matter at this point. But to me, like, my whole goal is just, like, I kind of want to fit into that thin line. Like, for example, Avatar. When I looked at DeLino's work, I was like, okay, it's original enough to where if it can, he can draw in a, it can come off as anime-ish or American cartoonish. So say, for example, if I get picked up from anybody, it will still fall into that thin line, you know what I'm saying? Between comic, you know. And say, for example, if I want to come out with a full color version for volume one, people would still call it, you know, a comic book. I mean, but then again, it can be either or. It literally can.
I think that's dope. That, and it's smart to do that. It's smart to not necessarily put a label on it. Like, we just saw that article or news, whatever, on how Japan expects, like, just basically the manga market loses what, like, $7 trillion every single year from pirating. It's because most people have grown up watching anime for free and reading manga for free. We don't really get that in the comic book industry. Like, you can't just find a comic book online and read it for free without some sort of paywall, payola, or something like that. Yep. Or you had to go to a store and actually buy it. Or I ain't gonna lie, I bought a couple Naruto issues, but there was a lot that I just read online for free. Shout out to Manga Fox. Yep. Right? But yeah, you know, so I think it's kind of good to put it, or not put it in a box where it's like, yo, this is a manga, where you attract the manga crowd,
right?
But then you also attract the habits of the comic book crowd. Mm-hmm. I think that's what a lot of people are kind of running into on both sides. I have comic book creators that they don't have the attention span of like what an indie manga creator would have. I can go on Webtoons. I can pull up a bunch of creators that have like 150,000 people reading their project.
Right.
But they ain't making that much money. Whereas I'll have comic book creators that don't even have half of that, but they're selling out their books and they're still making money. They're just not as big.
Right. Right?
So it's just like a weird like area to be in. And I think it may be the right way to not put it in a box.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that, Delino, since you're kind of like mainly the artist here?
Well, actually, where do I start from? Listen, I mean, when you come into that kind of stuff, like the manga being, you know, being more into the world other than comics, I mean, I don't know how to explain this. There's a lot to say here. Like you're giving me too much, like to talk about. And yeah,
I'd be fair when you come on here, man.
I mean, don't get me wrong, but this needs like a whole episode. I don't know, maybe another like whole other video. But let me tell you something, okay? When it comes to Japan itself, Japan in its core, like Japanese companies, big animation companies. I mean, you watch One Piece, right? One Piece. Have you watched One Piece?
I am an avid One Piece hater. I have watched One Piece, though. I have watched One Piece.
All right.
I'm on episode like 42. I just got to where Luffy was fighting that that Arlong shark dude, but
me and you both, yeah, bro.
Yeah, other than that, like yo,
I mean,
the only one.
I mean, I'm just taking it.
The movies.
As an example,
I'm just taking it as an example. Okay, at least you know One Piece. One Piece now.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Toei Animation Studio, the studio that makes One Piece the anime. Okay, this studio nowadays, like, they literally hire freelancers from all over the world to do some animation scenes from the anime, which means, and this is not just Toei Animation, this is most of studios, just like Ubisoft. I think you know Demon Slayer, right? Demon Slayer is doing the same thing. So when it comes to that, means that Japan country itself, or the country, Japan, they are not closed to manga, to anime. They are not close to the world. They are in the world. They are making it easy for us to access, whether if we are artists, if we are readers, if we are watchers, you know what I'm saying? So at this point, like you cannot compare Japan world when it comes to manga, to anime, to publicity, you know, to the rest of the world. I don't know if you get me. I mean, it's too hard to make you understand this. Like, it's
no, it's good. It's, I feel like I'm picking up. So you're basically saying is like
it's too complicated, but at the same time,
yeah.
This stuff they need to change. I mean, like, if you are a... Come on, man. Come on, Mark. Help me out. I don't know. I
get it. You're basically saying it's like, yo, if the Japanese companies, the major companies that we all love and praise, if they're outsourcing their artwork to other countries, like South Korea or Africa,
exactly,
or all artists across the world, then
exactly,
why the hell are Americans just saying, oh, this shit is manga? It's like, no, it's like, first of all, most people don't even know what the hell they're talking about. Like, I understand what you're saying. I remember when I was younger watching like a mini documentary on how the animation of Dragon Ball Z was outsourced. Not Dragon Ball Z. It was either Dragon Ball Super or Dragon Ball Kai, something like that. The animation to keep costs down was outsourced to South Korea. Imagine that. Yeah. Big time Japanese Japanese manga outsourced to South Korea to make it a little cheaper. The animation was a little And then they got complaints and they were like, all right, you know, let's find like actual put money into this. Let's bring it back to Japan. But like, I see what you're saying. It's like, yo, there's artists that make this style all over the world.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same thing with rap, right? There's rappers in Japan, Germany, Africa, like there's rappers all over the place. So it's like, you can't just compartmentalize that to New York or keep it just in Japan for manga. It's like everywhere.
And I'm just talking from an artist's perspective. Like, it's not only in America, by the way. There are people from my country, locally, here. When they see me drawing some manga, they say, oh, you're drawing this comics. Yeah, cool comics. I go like, no, it's manga. They say, no, it has to be Japanese. Like, I'm facing this, like, the whole time. And now, those videos of freelancers sharing their scenes that they have made from One Piece had European, and American animators within the studio, and they have worked on episode 1015, I think, that episode. Remember that? I'm pretty sure that you have heard of that episode. It was like legendary in terms of animation, and there are Americans and Europeans who works on that. So what should we call these artists? Like I'm suffering from these people, you know? Yeah, it's true suffer. You just came on the wound and put some lemon and salt on the wound. And it's a wound for me because people are talking
it's
a
like,
lot.
It's like, when you're an interracial baby and it's like, you know, when you're telling like some white person, it's like, yo, I'm black. And they're like, nah, really? Like, you don't know. Or vice versa. It's like, nah, you ain't black. And it's like, yeah, it's like, yo, my mom is black. Like, you know, I totally get it, man. And that's literally how it is. And it's good hearing from your perspective as the artist, but are you black?
Yeah, I am. I'm from North Africa. I gotta make sure.
You know, in America, we're going through this weird time where everybody got these labels. Light
skin, so I get it right. But yeah, some people confusing me sometimes.
So you're black, you're in Libya, and you draw manga and manga anime style, and you still have people that are like, oh, but you know, you're not in Japan. It's like it's comics. Yeah. It's so weird, man.
Yeah,
crazy, crazy. But that's good. That was a dope convo. So let's get into the convo of AI art. Since you're an artist, right? AI art. Since you're an artist, I am on the fence with AI art. Right? I'm on the fence with it. I'm always for the progression of technology. However, I also understand the uniqueness of an individual creating a piece of art, whether it's music, a painting, a comic book. Whatever it is, right? How do you guys feel about AI art?
I'm going to say one thing before we go off to Delino, right? We've had this conversation many a times, me and Delino. We know this, bro. So you know what I'm about. I see the look on your face.
It's like when Kabuto got the glasses and he got the reflection on it. He's like, yo, I'm about to cook this guy right now. That's exactly what I see right now. He's ready to cook. Let's go.
So look, all right. Check it. Me personally, I have a thing where, for example, my brand would be Astromoto. Now, when I first started out, I was a part of a group, this big Facebook group. And to make a long story short, you know, when Facebook, it was an art dump. People come in, they dump their art. You know what I'm saying? And I created Astromoto for this platform to where really good artists, I'm talking about like 3D animation, you know what I'm saying? Where they can put their art in a spot and I can make money off of it as well.
Okay.
And it was booming. That's how that page grew to the extent to where it's at now during paid promotions. So when the whole AI art wave start going on. I was new to it, and at the time, I haven't really tried it out myself. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know at first. I kind of, my first take on it was, oh, it's just creative writing. Like you were saying, like, for example, the artist of Harry Potter. Just imagine if Harry Potter had AI art in there. You know what I'm saying? You got a couple pictures or whatever, and then boom. That's kind of the same perspective I had. You know, I didn't think that it was going to totally wipe out artists, because if you get down to like the meat and potatoes of what AI art is, it's basically a system that pulls a bunch of images off of Google,
right?
And they kind of mash them together. Sometimes you can get something and you can still see watermarks in it. So you know that AI has got a template of it or a rough draft from somewhere and tweaked it. That's technically what it is.
Okay.
You know, but me personally, I still use it for creating. I want to say if I don't know how a character looks, because most people when they create characters, and not to go off topic, but when most people create characters, they start with a design first. I don't. I start out with what I created called a tree. Basically, it's kind of like a personality tree, and I start with that personality, and then I go from the personality. What personality do I need to fit into this story? I need a character and I need a specific personality. I find that specific personality. And what I would do is I would say, okay, why is that character like that? Boom. Backstory. How much backstory, depending on how long the backstory is on why that character personality is like that, I design that character based off that backstory. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it's like with AI, I'm able to kind of like throw that out there, throw ideas out there, and to basically create references for myself.
Okay.
And I can say, hey, Delano, what do you think it is? You know, and he can, instead of me just saying, hey, I need a character that looks like this, and he has to think constantly. You know, or say if I'm just at work and I don't have time to do a rough sketch to send to him, I can go to AI and I can, you know, throw something up and I'm like, yo, take this. This is additionally what I want. This is the foundation of what I want. He takes it, tweaks it, makes it 100 times better. And that's what he's good for.
So you're talking about using it as a pre-production tool, not necessarily taking money out of an artist's pocket. You're talking about just for planning, just for ideas, creativity,
right,
and then taking that creative process, kind of speeding it up for yourself, and then paying somebody like Delano to kind of create it from his perspective with his artist skill. All right, cool.
And don't get me wrong. Yeah. I've seen some crazy stuff. I've seen people try to make NFTs out of the stuff, man. And
NFT is kind of crashed. Thank God I didn't lose any money on that, because I was hyped for NFTs in a moment. We'll talk about that later. But all right, cool. Delano, give me your POV, and I think your camera just like disconnected.
He swapped to a different camera.
Oh, yeah, shit. We also can't hear you. Technical difficulties right now. Yeah, plug yours in.
Yeah.
That's why I got my setup. It's like I got my camera right here. It's plugged into my laptop. It's being used and charged at the same time.
Man, last week it was just snowing, bro, in April.
Yep. I got family in Chicago, so I know that. That snow is no joke, bro. I was in Chicago in February one time. I was like, this might as well be the Arctic, bro, because it is literally massive blizzard.
Chicago, Kansas, same thing, bro. Yeah.
Yeah. Nuts. But I mean, I'm from New York, so
I thought you were in New York, bro.
No, I moved the last March, so I've been here a little over a year.
You like it out there better?
It's not necessarily, it has its pros and its cons or differences. Like, I like that I live in a place where there's palm trees. I like that I haven't seen snow this whole year. I love that I haven't had to wear a jacket this whole year. Like, all of that stuff I love. What I miss is the food. Like, it don't get much better than food in New York. I mean, I was in Long Island. I was like 45 minutes out of Manhattan. you know, so it's different. All my friends and family are there. Obviously, yeah. I got a lot of friends down here too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pros and cons. Like the whole New York mentality. I miss all that shit. You know,
yeah.
It's like when you literally see like the memes and shit of like how New Yorkers are. It's like, yo, that's really how we be. Like, I would love to say it's cap, but it's
Bro, like, man, I've been thinking about moving, like, to Texas, bro, because it's just, like, I don't know, man. Like, in the next couple years, bro, it's, like, I don't know if, like, Chicago in general. And it's crazy because we don't even live, like, in the mere city in there. We're, like, in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, even though it's a suburb, it's, like, a black suburb. You know what I'm saying? But it's, like, even still, it's getting too crazy, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if you'd be hearing about some of the stuff that we have in Chicago, bro.
Of course, bro. Come on, man. I know all of that shit. Fucking Dirk, King Vong, all that shit.
Bro, and it's like, I was going to save it for later, but basically, it's like, I use some of that fuel to actually write my story, bro.
There you go.
It's enough. Like, the shit that we've been dealing with in the past months, bro, has been literally fuel for me to create the story along with, I want to say, filler. You know what I'm saying? Because I was
gonna say, I saw that one page where the character was like standing over a city. I don't know if that was Chicago or like a fictional city, but I was thinking, I was like, yo, I hope he's like using shit that's going on mm-hmm. in Chicago and incorporating that shit into your actual stories. Yep. I know that's one thing that Lonzo does with Concrete, because he lives I think outside of Philly. And, you know, he's always kind of just like writing shit based on his city.
Yeah, bro. It's like, what I do is I take that and I kind of like, pretty much, I want to say, when I first started kind of like creating the main plot, the beginning, middle, and end, I really wanted to set the tone. So what I did was I kind of cut myself off for a while from like, watching anime and you know what I'm saying, and cartoons and stuff, because it's like I didn't want to be inspired by that stuff. I started watching more live action stuff, even TV shows. I was binge watching stuff like Supernatural, you know what I'm saying, just to get a better idea how like story is written. And it's like the crazy part about it is like even when I was drawing like traditionally, I would like say if I was watching The Matrix, you know, I would screenshot it, you know what I'm saying, a specific scene, and I would draw that, you know, and use that as a reference, you know.
I like it.
And it's like, dude.
Did that shit in college, bro. We did that shit in college. We used to watch movies and then just kind of like pause the frame and then just draw it. We did it for Batman Begins, Goodfellas, Indiana Jones, and there was another movie. I can't remember. But yeah, we would do that same thing.
Right. And pretty much the only thing that I did take on how I wanted like Shogun Pass to go, and it's like my main goal has always been, and I'm pretty sure this is every manga creator's goal, is to get to the anime. You know what I'm saying? Get picked up and get an anime made. You know, even if it has its slow run or whatever, that's literally the main goal. And that's kind of the mentality and mindset I had. And I've poured a lot of money, bro, like a lot of money into this project, dude. I poured a lot of money, bro, just to make sure things are right, bro.
I could tell. I mean, I could tell. I know what it costs to have like a good artist in your back pocket.
Yeah.
You know, I know what it costs to freaking pay for those pages, man, but it's like the more you invest into your project, the better product that you're going to have. So when you're looking mm-hmm. to sell it and market it and brand it, it's going to be a lot easier.
Yeah.
So I totally get that, man. That's one of the things that like I'm working up to. That's why I'm trying to build up what I'm doing here. That's why I'm trying to build my Patreon. And we're talking about mad good shit right now. And Delino is not here. You want to shoot him over a call and see what's going on?
I was about to say, I don't know if he still can hear us. But the thing I love about Delino, bro, is that there will be times where I'd be like, yo, hey, Delino, like, low key, bro, how much you gonna charge me for this? And he like, bro, don't worry about that, bro. He's like, I got you. He's like, let's just get this shit done, bro. He's like, I'll take a pay cut. Like,
I love that.
This dude, man, like, I've worked with a lot of artists. I worked with artists from, like, Egypt. I worked with India. They're like, one-track minded. You know what I'm saying? They look at it as, like, a commission. They don't have no dedication to it. It's kind of hard to get feedback from them. You know what I'm saying? And when DeAndre sent me this dude, he was like, bro, I found this dude on Fiverr. You need to send him a DM now. And I was like, all right, I'm going to let you. He's like, no, now. And I was like, okay, cool. I mean, you talk with DeAndre. You know how he is.
Yo, it's crazy. Oh, man, I wish we were, like actually recording right now. I mean, we are recording, but,
I
like,
yo. Chop it out and just plug it in or whatever.
It's crazy how many people DeAndre has influenced. DeAndre, I think, either has my top or my second to top interview on my entire platform. It's almost at like 300 listens, which is crazy. All right, hold on. Oh, it looks like he exited out. But yeah, it's crazy the influence that DeAndre. I mean, literally, I have people reach out to me and like, yo, I saw you did that interview with DeAndre. Or, yo, I actually have a manga with Pulse Manga. It's nuts. And it'd be just like random. Like, I'll find someone and, you know, we'll be chopping it up. And he's like, yo, DeAndre's my boy. And I'm like, yo, this guy, man, he got an eye for talent, bro.
Yeah. And it's like, DeAndre has helped put together Onsuru Go, bro. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, if I'm correct, he's merging with Shrine or they're doing some type of collab.
Yep.
You know? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, dude, like the people that's a part of Onsuru Go, man, it's like, their art might not be top tier, but I'm checking out the story because I want to see what my competition is like. I want to see what my peers are doing. Their stories are legit, bro. And I was just like, okay, I need to step my game up because this is like me, I crave original, you know, I crave that. And it was like, and then you get those people because you got to be original these days because you're going to get those people that's going to like, oh, you got a manga, bro? Let me check that out. This kind of looks like that dude from Bleach. Or, you know, oh, okay, I see you got that from Spider-Man. Like, bro, you going to get those people.
Yeah, you always get those. When I look at, I just did the interview with Red F Manga, and I'll read the comments on his TikTok or whatever, and it's like, yo, I hate when people do that. Or I'll read the comments on NamiWare, and like they always be trying to flame NamiWare, and it's like, regardless on what anybody says, this motherfucker started his own clothing brand. He literally got celebrities wearing his shit. He has two mangas that he's publishing, regardless on the Shonen Jump stuff and whatever. Right. But it's like, yo, he's out there doing what majority of people wish they could scratch the surface on.
And dude, you know what's crazy is that, like, I was even talking to DeAndre. He was like, bro, I encourage you, even though you're like published to Onsuru Go and Pulse. He was like, I encourage you, once you finish volume one, he was like, dude, try to publish or submit to like Dark Horse Comics. Try to submit to like fucking Viz Media. You know, I hate to say their name, but it's there, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Bro, like, yeah.
And for everybody watching, Delino just magically disappeared, but no big deal. Yeah, we're just gonna keep rocking and rolling, man. No,
he just sent me a crying emoji. I don't know.
It's all good, man. If he can't hop back on, maybe we could get him off of Patreon. But yeah, we'll continue here, man. But it's dope, bro. It's dope that, you know, you're from Chicago, you connected. Oh, wait. Admit. All right, we got you back.
It seems that Apple always wins when it comes to stuff. Yeah. Windows. Sorry, Bill Gates, but your Microsoft sucks.
All right.
So, wait, hold on. Let me, like, redo this again because we were having like a freaking dope convo and you weren't here for it. So Delino is back, everybody. I know I said that he disappeared, but he is magically back. All right, cool. Shout out to Apple products. all right, cool. So we were talking about a whole bunch of stuff. We were talking about creating manga or creating your story with your influence in your city, being influenced by DeAndre Muffet, who seems to have his hands in every single indie manga that I personally interact with, which is dope. He's almost like the P. Diddy of the
industry,
which is dope. but yeah, just that. And we were also talking about AI. So I want to kind of hop back to that because I know you were going to give your perspective on AI art. What do you think of it?
First off, let me show you something before we start talking. You see this poster?
I can see AI and then...
It's really Arabic here, but you see AI? Okay. That is actually a discussion that I have attended like maybe a month ago, and the title of that discussion is "Buz fi AI." Buz fi in Arabic, it means in English. This video is going to be on YouTube, so I'm going to be respectful. It's F. Word AI.
No, you can fuck AI. Say that shit, bro. It don't matter.
Exactly. I don't know. You're gonna upload this video on YouTube, so I don't know, man.
Nah, we can let the F words fly.
I need to be respectful as much as I can. So. Anyways, so in this discussion, they have asked me, "What do you see the problem? What seems to be the problem with AI art?" And my response was like that, and we talked. Me and Mark talked about this a lot. My problem is not in the AI art in itself. My problem is in the people who calls themselves AI artists. That's my main problem. That's what I suffer from. I mean, AI art in its core, it's a tool for brainstorming, just like what Mark said. It's for brainstorming. I have some ideas. I don't have time to spend a lot of time just thinking, just to shape what's in my head in front of me on a paper or on a tablet, on a canvas or whatever. So I just type that stuff down and boom, get pictures. I look at that. City it helps me brainstorm and process. And then I put those ideas on paper or on my tablet or whatever. This is the main reason of AI art, but the problem is when you create something by only typing and putting some prompts, and then you call yourself, you claim that you have made this art. Let me tell you something. Mark is the author for Shogun Past, right? So he first commissioned me to as a artist to make his story becomes comics or manga, right? Correct. Can he claim that he is the artist of Shogun Past?
No.
He cannot. Even if he paid money for that, he cannot claim that he's the artist.
Yeah, because if somebody is like, yo, draw me that character on the spot at a Comic-Con, and he can't draw and he's trash, you're done.
He gave me the sketches, he gave me the ideas, he gave me everything. I did nothing but drawing. I just drew it. But that means even with that, he cannot call himself the artist of this manga. The thing with AI art is the same. It's just you are dealing with a machine artist, not a human artist. You're not going like, oh, you are actually the client of this machine. You go and type shit like, give me that.
Okay.
Give me some white hair boy, black skin.
You got
yourself that. You go post it and, wow, I'm the artist, AI artist. That's my only problem. Do not claim stuff that has been made from an AI that has generated it from original art from other people. You know, there's something funny. I've seen a tweet with like 72 plus pictures with arts that had the AI left some of the fragments of the original artist's signature.
The watermark. I was trying to say
it
that. Yep.
Pick it off.
I was going to say that.
I laughed so hard. Dude, and other people claiming this art to be theirs. With the signature of the original artist. Like, this is so funny, you know? So, the main idea, the general idea of AI art, it supports me. I use AI art sometimes for some landscapes to get my brain pumped up so I can create, you know, to brainstorm and some stuff. I even used it for brainstorming some of the themes in Shogun Past. Like, I was like, I need some ideas. And I don't have time. We have deadlines and stuff going on. So I need to do this fast. So I had to go and type some shit and wait for it to generate, to look at it. Oh my God, this is good. I'll make something like that. And then I start drawing. This is the only purpose of AI. There is no other purpose for it.
He Damn. Cut out again.
You lost him again. Lost him again. Unbelievable. All right, my apologies, everybody. We lost Delino again. Yo, this is what happens when you deal with technology. You know, you win some, you lose some. He's also in Libya, right? He's all the way across the country. He's like 2 a.m. over there. North Africa. Shout out to North Africa. So just dealing with it. We're going to wait for him to kind of hop back. And if he doesn't, then we'll just rock out without him.
So to kind of add on to what he was saying.
I don't think he's hopping back in. So, all right, cool. You can go.
There is some times where.
My bad. Never mind. He hopped in again. All right. Hold on. All right. Cool. We're back. Continue what you were saying about AR.
So I was telling you that you cannot just claim the art that is not originally yours, that has been made by a machine. You just typed some prompt, what's in your head, and the machine just drew it for you. You can just say that you have thought of that idea. That was originally your idea, but you cannot say that you made that art, you are that artist. This is really wrong, you know. This is where it really gets annoying. So I tried to go with a lot of artists like around the world through a campaign just to stop this madness and nonsense.
Good luck.
It's a nonsense. And it doesn't make sense.
Okay.
Some websites like ArtStation, they have tried to make a stand for it, but you know,
it ain't going nowhere, bro.
Yeah, so here's the thing with it. And I understand the aspect of an artist, but I always wanna have a gray area with whatever topic, like especially like if we're talking about it serious. Like otherwise I could joke about different stuff. But like Mark said, AI isn't going anywhere, right? And we're in the very, very early stages where it is choppy, where you'll have things where it's just like combing through the internet and creating a hodgepodge of different artists. And then they're even leaving the signatures or the stamps of that artist in there by a mistake or just because that's what the program is doing. But it's going to get to a point where it's actually generating and creating stuff based on all images off the internet to where it's going to be where it's like, hey, this is almost like an original piece of content. Is it going to be the same thing?
Well, honestly,
yeah.
Uh-huh. I got something to say about that, actually. I'm still saying, I'm trying to clarify this, that I am not against the AI art in itself.
Yeah.
It's a good tool. It helps a lot of people. It helped me. But misusing it is this is where I want to define my intentions on AI art.
Okay.
My intentions on AI art are good. Actually, I'm trying to use it to help me, you know, and there are a lot of people who are using it for help, just like me, to help them, like.
But it's like, you're going to always have those people
make time shorter.
Yeah, but do like, it's more, like, you're going to always productive. Have those people that abuse the power, you know what I'm saying? They're going to use it to abuse, and it's like, I get exactly what you're saying, bro. It's like, it's.
Yeah. For example, I got that French client, just to Just to clarify what Mark have said about AI artists, I have that French client. I'm not talking about the NFT guy. I'm talking about another one. That guy, he used to commission me to make him some 101s NFTs. And then this guy discovered AI art. And then he just quit talking to me, quit sending me stuff, and he started making stuff on his own with AI art. And then he found himself on Foundation website selling nothing. He's not selling anymore. Yeah. You know, his shit's not selling. And he just tried to contact me again. Like, he tried to connect with me. Like, yo, bro, how you doing, man? Yeah, I want some pieces and stuff. I was like, nah, man, I'm busy. I'm not a machine, so I can respond to you. Like, I say, okay, let's go hit the prompt and I'll generate it for you. I'm a human being. I hate this shit. You betrayed my ass. Goodbye. That's what
yo,
I
yo, it's like the drug dealer. It's like, yo, it's like, yo, when you was the plug for a minute and then you think you found a new drug dealer and it turns out that that shit is Reggie, you try to go back to the old plug and he's like, nah, I ain't messing with you no more. You're dead right now. Yo, I understand that aspect. It sucks for him because NFTs have tanked. It's like nobody's making money with NFTs anymore. But he thought he was slick. He thought he was slick and that he could use Reggie and try to use AI art to then sell it as NFTs. And it's like, there's going to also be a point to where it's like, you're going to know a quality artist versus an NFT. Like it's going to be known. It's going to be made, but it's like, yo, it's like, it happens in the music industry. It's like, think about how, when people used to be in the studio with like live bands making music, and then all of a sudden, like Fruity Loops comes out, and now you can have all of it in your laptop, and you could literally be sitting at home and make beats and make a whole record without a studio and everything. And people tried to fight in the beginning. But then it got to a point where it's like, yo, you got to embrace it. It's not going to go backwards, right? Technology only moves forwards, right? It either deads and it stops, or it moves forward. It never goes backwards. I don't think AI art is going to go anywhere. And I see your aspect of don't use AI art and assume that you're an artist. It's almost the same thing as like, yo, don't say you're a battle rapper, but you have somebody writing your own bars for you. Like, if we tell you to spit something off the top of your head and you can't do it, it's a little shaky. Like, if we're in a studio with you and you can't write any music at the same time, then it's a little shaky. It's like, we'll be able to call out stuff like that.
Imagine me go to a rap battle where we freestyle and stuff and go bring my phone and start doing this.
Hey. I mean, yo, are the bars fire, though? Yo, the bars fire. Yo, if the bars are fire, I'll let it slide.
My phone starts spitting fire. I call myself that I've beaten you in a freestyle, like, war, you know, freestyle battle. So, nah, man. It's the same concept.
It would be weird if you had Siri reread your rhymes and it was like, then it's like, oh, all right, AI freestyle battles. Nah, you can't do that.
Have Siri chime in. Hey, and I don't know if y'all heard of this, but they actually have this thing where they can take an artist's voice and have them say different lyrics. I've seen it on TikTok. I've seen it on.
Oh yeah, Snapchat. I heard fucking Kanye West singing "Munch." Yo, the AI Drake, the Drake AI, like, this shit was kind of hard. I can't even lie. It was kind of hard, but I it's like, I understand the aspect. It's like, all right, you know, obviously we're in this weird time where AI artwork is like brand new, but how could artists be using it? I don't know. Maybe Biggie Smalls' estate and family, and maybe P. Diddy says, hey, let's make some AI art with Biggie, AI music with Biggie's voice. Cool. I mean, could they get away with that? They could do it because, hey, they got the rights to Biggie, right? Yeah. We know it's not Biggie, but maybe they could
have him sing like the hook or something. Who knows, man? Yeah, I mean,
who knows? I have no idea. But yo, it's like, does it, like, Drake just had an album, not two albums ago, Scorpion, when Michael Jackson was on it. We have no idea if that was AI Michael Jackson.
Exactly.
It was a brand new song. It was just vocals that he recorded. How could you know?
Right. Well, it was something that was sampled or just chimed in. You, man, I've heard some crazy stuff, dude.
Yeah, and they'll probably be something, maybe, you know, I don't know. I can never like predict technology or the future or anything, but I get that aspect of artists being afraid that it's taking away their jobs. But it's like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like artists, like, you put your heart and soul and you can do things that a computer could never do. So, you know, it's all about just figuring out how to make it work on both ends.
And I tell Delino all the time, I'm like, dude, I knew we connected when I was like, look, bro, I was like, not only am I hiring you to just redraw my old pages and redraw scripts that I draw, I'm hiring you to give me your honest opinion. All of that matters to me, bro. All of that. He's giving me different ideas. I'm hiring him to look at a different perspective of things. And there's been countless of times where I was like, yo, check this out. And he will look at it and he was like, this needs to be revamped. In my opinion, bro, I've seen it done too many times. You know what I'm saying? He's like, explain to me in the direction where you want to go and let's try to work out to keep it in that direction, but let's bring it to a newer light, to the, you know what I'm saying? Because originally when I started working on Shogun's Pass back in like 2010, I wanted to set the tone. What I ended up doing was I looked at some favorite shows of mine and I was like, okay, I want to have my action like Yu Yu Hakusho, right?
Oh, my favorite anime, dude, right there.
Man, they're the king of the tournaments. Before Dragon Ball was the tournaments, the tournaments were there, bro. You know?
So fire.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to have my action like Yu Yu Hakusho. My suspense, I need my suspense to be like Death Note, bro. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I need that for the suspense, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Another top tier anime.
And I was just like, Let me take those. And I'm like, oh shit, comedy relief. How we were just talking about making things that happen in the real world and using that as feedback and to twist that. You know what I'm saying? Boondocks. Let's use the comedy relief from Boondocks. And let's just take those three and mash them together to the hard core. You know what I'm saying? So something I can always look back on. And I'm like, okay. You know, and at the same time, I wanted to create a manga where it gives that a nostalgia feeling, you know, and that was a real big thing that I struggled with. And if it wasn't for DeAndre and Delino helping me with that, bro, because I had the deception that I had to make like dark toned. I thought I had to be like seinen type anime, you know what I'm saying? Or have like a seinen style manga. And DeAndre was like, bro, to be honest, shonen is where it's at. You can still have a dark tone manga and have it look bright like X Hunter, X Hunter. I didn't even know. I never seen the anime. Never seen the original one. He put me on that. I went back.
Hunter, X Hunter.
Hunter, X Hunter. Yeah, I went back and I watched a couple episodes and I was like, okay, when does it get dark? Eventually.
You know that's Junior Yu Yu Hakusho, right?
Yeah. I didn't know that. You know, I was like, okay, it's got some dark.
They're made by the same guy.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like Junior Yu, like Yu Yu Hakusho is like the teenager, and then Hunter x Hunter is like the adolescent, like the younger version.
The junior, bro. So it's like I took that and I was like, all right, let's make this as the core, you know. And when it came to like kind of implementing that to get that nostalgia feeling, because I'm all about the 80s and the early 2000s, bro. When you can like go to the shopping mall, you know what I'm saying, and it's all bright, but now you go to the mall and it's like played out, bro. Like that was kind of my thing. And I also took, like, since in Shogun's Past you have a group of friends, kind of like in Stranger Things, you know what I'm saying, let's take the nostalgia-ness of like that group, that big friend group, you know what I'm saying. So I got inspiration from like stuff like Stranger Things, Rocket Power, that friend group, you know what I'm saying? Where they just go out and they chill, you know? Rugrats, I went back to like shows like All That for comedy relief, bro. And you know what I'm saying? Just picking and pulling and everything, you know, just to get that nostalgia and feeling back, bro. And I really wanted to implement that in Shogun's Past. And that's that's kind of been the struggle. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, is the newer generation going to vibe with that? Because it's like, I study in my mind, I have this thing where, oh, well, history repeats itself. You know what I'm saying? It'll come back in style soon. But like, are these jokes still funny? You know what I'm saying? And that's where Delino comes in. Is like, no, it's not funny. It's like, you know, nobody's going around calling each other hobknockers and giving each other wet willies and shit, bro. Like, this is not doing it.
That is funny. That is jokes. That is jokes. Yo, this was dope. We're at like the hour mark. I know we were having some technical difficulties, everybody. Yeah. I'm going to have my editing team kind of work it out and make sure that it's tip top. And by editing team, I mean myself, because I'm a one man band for now.
You're going to be ready. You're going to have to be ready for an interview with a guy from the third world country.
Man, there we go.
Your whole team needs to be working on that kind of technical difficulties that I am gonna have. I'm gonna be having all the time. Like, Mark got used to it already.
Yeah.
Sometimes Mark goes like sending a message to me. Hey, yo, man, what's up? Any updates? And I go for like 2 days without response. He starts calling. Yo, man, what's going on? Everything's okay. And I'm just sleeping, looking at the walls. I have no electricity.
Oh, damn.
For 2 days, you know. Yeah. That's crazy. And then I tell him, once I get myself some SIM card with internet connection, I just send him a video. Hey, I'm sitting in the darkness. I'm doing nothing, literally. So yeah, he got used to it. Yeah, so when I go off, like, I don't talk to him like for 2 days or something. Yeah, he figures out. Yeah, man, he's got
electricity. Something blew up.
This is wrong. Where else y'all gonna get this comic book nerd talk and also sitting down with a manga artist in a third world country, right? You don't get this type of entertainment anywhere else. Not from no one, y'all.
Never.
So before we cut out of here for YouTube, I want you guys to plug your stuff, and then we'll hang back a little bit for Patreon. We won't hang too late, but plug your stuff before we get out of here.
Yo, so first and foremost, if you guys want to go check out Shogun's Past right now, I would highly appreciate it. Chapter 1 is on Onsuru Go, and Chapter 1 and 2 will be on Pulse Manga. I believe their magazine issue drops this month or next month. So be on the lookout for that. Also, we're creating a website that where we'll be uploading more things. Me and Delino, we're planning on working on some other side projects as well. And that's going to be all on the future Astromoto website. But just to plug Onsuru Go, because those guys over there working hard, man. Those dudes keep me on the grind. They keep me motivated and keep me pumped. So that's www.onsurugo.net. And they're also going to revamp their website too. Just make you an account, man. Go check it out. Leave some comments. Communicate. And that's the thing about us, bro. Us indie creators, you can message us. We're not bougie. We're going to message you back, bro. We want real feedback.
I'm a little bougie. I just had some dude say, yo, you fine as fuck in my DMs. I was like, all right, you know what? I need to put Instagram down for a little bit. You know, nah, it's like, yo, I like the compliment, but it's like, all right, we getting kind of crazy now.
Right. Hey, on Surugo, we got some gangsters over there, too, to shoot the bad with you, so be careful, bro. Be careful, man. And also, go check out my man, Delino, bro. His artwork is amazing, bro. Amazing. When he's got time, when he's on vacation, sometimes he will still accept some t-shirt designs. So go check him out, man. Definitely go check him out.
All times.
Yeah.
Anytime.
And also, if you guys want to go see any of my old artwork, you can go to my Instagram account, Mark Rails. I don't draw much traditional there anymore. I'm off always working, man. Just everyday life stuff, man. But you guys can go check that out as well. And don't forget to check out the Shogun's Past Instagram account, because that's where we're going to upload everything else first, man. We're trying to branch off to Facebook, too, and Instagram, but I don't understand Instagram. I mean, it is, but I'm trying to, like, get over to Twitter, because I guess that seems like where it's at. I don't know.
Yo, Facebook is where it's at. Facebook is where it's at. TikTok is fire too. Instagram is kind of dead over there for the growth and reach, for at least for now. But yeah. Facebook popping. TikTok poppin'. Dope. YouTube's dope. I haven't gotten to Twitter yet, but yeah, I might have to check Twitter out.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Yeah.
Cool.
You find me on Twitter.
There we go. What's your Twitter handle?
It's delino.art.
Delino.art. Simple. Simple. I'll put all of this stuff, the links, everything in the description. And other than that, YouTube, we are out. Later.
Peace.